why aren't we putting more troops into Sarajevo right now, for example? I haven't had any feeling that there's a great demand for that. What we want to do is play our part in the fulfillment of the mission to bring humanitarian relief in there. But I don't think there's a great eagerness to put American troops there on the ground, or to send NATO in there. The United Nations has a role. They're fulfilling the role. So I think you raise a good point, but I don't think it will diminish support for NATO on the part of the American people, or even from the Europeans. I don't think it'll diminish support.
The question is, sir, if you're not going to intervene, or not prepared, or not very much inclined to intervene in a conflict of that nature, even in theory, then what are you doing in Europe?
We're there to guarantee the peace, and we're there to say we know history, and if we'd have stayed there in the past with some presence, maybe we could have averted some of the disaster that befell Europe. We're there because Europe wants us there, too. Not only do we want to be there in a presence in the most efficient organization of its kind, NATO, but I think the Europeans all want us there. In fact, I keep asking to be darn sure I'm right on that question, and they do. And so NATO is there, but that doesn't mean when you have a humanitarian problem here or you have internal divisions in any countries, and there are many turmoils based on ancient ethnic rivalries and hatreds that are cropping up, that automatically NATO goes to general quarters. That's not NATO's mission. There's ways to decide whether NATO should be involved or not. And I tried to recite the history of here of the United Nations role. And in this instance, the United Nations has taken the lead. Some individual European leaders have taken the lead. But I don't see it as diminishing NATO's standing, or certainly is diminishing NATO's commitment, the American people's wanting NATO to still have a strong U.S. presence. Because the fact that they're not in this crisis, you might turn to me after I finish answering that one and say, what about some of the other areas where there are trouble spots not there going on right now in what used to be the Soviet Union? There's a lot of trouble spots. And my answer would be to that question that because NATO is there and it is the most efficient peacekeeping organization that exists, that doesn't mean that it's going to be injected into every single crisis area. So there's other mechanisms set up for this one, and it's a very complicated problem when I look at it. Somebody asked me, how is it different from the action, from say Desert Storm or from the invasion of one country from another? And as these countries sort out these enormously complicated problems, I make the point that is different. They're internal to a degree, and yet they're new countries. But I make a point that it is quite different than the overt invasion of one country by another. And I'm sure some in Sarajevo might not agree with that. But I think the mission for NATO has to be looked at in terms of each crisis or each outbreak of hostilities. And in this one, we've had other organizations that are trying to solve the problem. And you've had other countries that have on their own trying to solve the problem. But I would do my level best to see that this does not diminish NATO. I am absolutely convinced not only do we have a role there, but it's in our interest that we avoid, it's an insurance policy, if you will, against the kinds of conflagrations that we've seen in the past. And so it'll stay strong, and there'll be some bumps in the road, but NATO is going to be the major organization of its kind anywhere in the world, I think. This is the last one, and then I really, according to Marlon, must be off. 23:47.
Mr. President, but the impression is that the United States are maybe too cautious, too uncertain on the Yugoslavia crisis. They don't exactly know what to do. Can you tell me if it's correct or wrong?
Well, I don't think that this, we don't know what to do. I can understand somebody saying, well, why doesn't the United States use its magnificent military power one way or another to end all this suffering? But it's not that we don't know what to do. It is that we were trying to work with others in the ways I've outlined here to try to bring about an environment in which we can bring relief to the area. So that's the way I would answer the question. Did I get it?
Yes.
Yes. Now that's about it. I mean, the United States is not going to inject itself into every single crisis, no matter how heartrending, around the world. And where we try to work with other, with the United Nations, for example, we have no apologies for that. There will be times when we have to take the lead, when we have to move forcefully, when we have a clear mission. I am not interested in seeing one single United States soldier pinned down in some kind of a guerrilla environment. We go in there, we're going to go in there and do what we said we're going to do and get out. And this environment is a little complicated, so that I could certify to the American people that's what would happen.
Well, so when you told Prime Minister Mulroney about the Canadian troops, what, have you said any special message to him as the Canadian troops?
I gave him an attaboy. I saluted him for doing what they're doing with the United Nations.
Have you offered UN cover for the convoy or any further convoy?
Well, we've not been asked to do that. But they're doing a wonderful job over there. And I think the Canadians who have stepped forward deserve a great vote of thanks from the entire world for what they're doing. And when you see those pictures on the television and you see those courageous people there, why, we salute them. And but he has not asked for that. But let me put it this way. Canadian forces get in trouble. They got some friends right here. Right here, strong friends that are grateful to them and who respect them and have stood at their side before. And we're not gonna let a lot of Canadians get put into harm's way without support. Put it that way.